website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, so much for joining us today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion as we face the issues today. We'll be talking about a very important issue, an issue that we have touched on for several times on this broadcast down through the recent months and years. We're talking about today, though, an issue after COVID, facts. What are the facts after COVID? How should we respond to them? We have the privilege of having Robert Kennedy now in charge of HHS, and some of the things that he's doing there, some call it turning the table upside down, but I think it's turning the table right side up to get things all right with what we've been faced with the COVID lies, deception coming out of HHS and Dr. Sir Anthony Fauci for all of these years. We have with us today Dr. Reed Sheffield, and we've talked with him. Sheftall, I'll get it right after all. Dr. Sheftall, I think I'll get accustomed to his name after we interview him about a dozen more times. I'm thankful that he's here with us. Dr. Tommy Pierce is with us today, pastoring Tyrone Oaks Baptist Church up in Greenville, Tennessee, and our number three son. Most of you have heard him before as we've interviewed together. Greg Youngblood is with us. We're around the round table today. We're going to have a dialogue and discussion about after COVID facts. What are they? We're going to depend on Dr. Sheftall to answer a lot of questions. And so as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but that's incalculable when we say forever. But I'm thankful that I can place my head on the pillow at night, realizing that the truth of the Word of God, it remains indelibly true forever, eternity. But yet, at the same time, I'm prone to be reminded of George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, and the dystopian novel that he produced, published, by the way, 1947, 1948, and 1949. But his novel was 1984. And he talked about what America would be like in 1984. This is one of his statements. He said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be factually true today. If you don't believe that, just listen to both sides of the aisle in D.C. of what the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party says caused the 42-day shutdown, and listen to the Republicans, and it's diametrically different. I choose to believe the facts, and the facts are that the Republicans are right, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrats are wrong. It was a Schumer shutdown, and they were trying to use that as a cudgel to force the Republicans to bow and bend, because in the big, beautiful bill, it took out the COVID mandate to there be a subsidy for the Obamacare during that period of time, but that subsidy is to expire on December 31st, 2025, and the Democrats wanted to add another 10 years to that. So I'm thankful that that still has not been resolved. It'll be a fight come December and January over that. But that gets back to the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental thought that truth matters regardless of what others may say. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In fact, DeMint said this, What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's a greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I choose to believe truth. And as I've said before, and may I, at the risk of redundancy, say again, truth matters. And when we look at the Word of God, it is the truth book. You know, back in the Bible school days of yesteryear, we'd sing the song B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the Bible for me. That's the book for me. That's what we need to go back to. And I like to refer back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and be willing to defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the homeowner as well as the professional brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows U.S. flag Old Glory 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, before I forget it, unless I do, and oft times I do, that telephone number after we have the brief monologue, 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. And our guest today is Dr. Reed Sheltall and Dr. Tommy Pierce. Dr. Pierce is a pastor up at Towering Oaks Baptist Church, and what my son Greg, sitting over to my left, calls the southern tip of heaven. And, by the way, I have to tell this on Greg. I was up at his house some time back, and it was about this time of the year, and we're sitting on his front porch looking out over the mountainside, and he said, Dad, look at the leaves changing. He said, you see those red leaves on there? And I said, son, there's not any red leaves that you're looking at. He says, I'm colorblind. But anyway, I didn't see any red leaves in the mountainside, Greg, when we were looking at that. Hey, he's a poor fella. But ladies and gentlemen, America, I believe America is finally getting to the truth about how we had faced the atrocities against humanity during COVID pandemic, or some call it the plandemic. Some of the big, farmer groups like Pfizer and J.J., Johnson & Johnson and Moderna, and some of the lies that we were told. In fact, let me just summarize some of those lies before we get into the dialogue and discussion with Dr. Sheltall about the facts and the truth of COVID. In fact, Dr. Sheltall, as you recall in some of our previous interviews, said there's no such thing as COVID. We're going to ask him to briefly restate that so that you, as our listeners that may not have heard this before, you will understand what we have been faced with since, January, February of 2020. And we've gone through the deep waters of that diatribe that we were told by those leading America, those involved in the leadership, as I should call it. But I'm looking at an article. Says the White House defends Robert F. Kennedy Jr. amid the CDC turmoil. Let me read one paragraph, and then we'll jump to the other things in our brief monologue before we introduce our guest and ask them to start talking to us about it. The White House is defending Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. after a chaotic week at the U.S. Center for Disease and Control that led to calls for his removal. On Friday, the White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller called Kennedy, as known as RFK Jr., a crown jewel in the President Trump's administration. Earlier this week, CDC Chief Susan Morantz was fired because she was not aligned with the president's agenda, the White House said in a statement, and was replaced by RFK's deputy, Jim O'Neill. At least three senior CDC leaders have resigned since over the frustration about Kennedy's leadership and vaccine policy. The to unease led the some lawmakers calling it the resignation was the unease that was in the group because he fired the chief that was in that area. Miller called Kennedy one of the world's foremost voices and advocates and experts on public health and said he's working hard to restore the credibility and integrity of the CDC, which is one of the world's most foremost public health bodies. The recent turmoil followed the CDC permanently firing 600 employees. I think it was a good job cleaning house. We're going to ask Dr. Sheftall in a minute, what does he think about that? And by the way, Dr. Sheftall, I understand, just had a visit to the HHH division and talked with Dr. Bartichardi, about that. I'm going to ask him to tell us about his visit and what he found from the folks in charge there. But some of the lies that we've been told by the big farmer lies and some of the lies that some still believe, that the vaccination would prevent COVID. That was a lie. They said the vaccination was 98% efficacious. We found that was a lie. We were told that we needed not only the shot, but a booster and a booster and a booster. We were told we needed a mask and then another mask and another mask and another mask. And at the same time, Dr. Fauci was saying that, he didn't put on a mask. He was at public events, and he didn't wear a mask. It's about like Nancy Pelosi saying that the ladies couldn't go to the beauty shop to have their hair done. She did. That's the same type of lie, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been faced with now since COVID hit the scenes in America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, because President Trump's appointed Robert Kennedy as head of the HHS and his investigation and what's going on, major lies continue to be uncovered. Major lies and deceptions that America's faced have been revealed to be deceptive and purposefully used for the deep-pocketed pharmaceutical house to make more money. By the way, I must add a little footnote to this, Dr. Sheftall. I found out just the other day on an article that I read that the stock has plummeted with Pfizer since they can no longer market their COVID lies. They have now switched to a new capsulization of their COVID shot, and they call it Paxlovid. If you have COVID, take Paxlovid, which is a capsule form of the Pfizer shot called the COVID vaccination. I want you to talk about that in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll have further questions. Perhaps you will have them at a point in time as we have this discussion. I pray that you would call in and join the dialogue and discussion in relationship to that. Yeah, I'm looking at a fact on it. The stock is at, what, 26.16? I don't know about you, and I don't ever rejoice when a business folds or fumbles or falls in any fashion, but I'm delighted to see that the Pfizer pharmaceutical finally is biting the dust in some areas financially as a result of the results of what Robert Kennedy is doing in the CDC and the NIH and the HHS. That's the major areas of the health that we need to look at. So, Dr. Sheftall, thank you so much for being with us. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, he's an MIT graduate with about 99 percentile in his class, professional golfer, a heart surgeon, plastic surgeon. I don't know, we could spend the balance of the day talking about his credentials and his background. I've grown to love him and appreciate him and thankful for him and his stand for truth and what he wants to say. So, Dr. Sheftall, I'm going to throw the ball to you for just a moment. Give a few words of introduction and your thoughts, and especially talk about your trip to HHS and Robert Kennedy's division there and what you found and what it said to you.
Thank you very much, Pastor Youngblood. I'd like to skip my talking about myself and use the time instead to thank you for being such an inspiration to so many people, including me, and also for having me on your show so many times. And I think you would agree that we've become very good friends.
Amen.
In addition,
absolutely,
to trying to help the public understand this horrible thing that was done to them.
Absolutely. Well, I'm thankful for you and for what God has done through you, and it's our prayer that God will continue to give you wisdom, strength, and health to carry on what you're doing. You've been a great inspiration to me personally, and I'm thankful for what you've been able to communicate to our listening audience of those that tune in each and every day to Let's Face the Issues. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, we talked to, you mentioned that I had gone up to see my friend Dr. Jay Bhattacharya.
Charya, that's it.
Yeah, it's hard to pronounce his name, and every senator that mentions it on TV gets it wrong. I'm amazed. The guy's the NIH director. And the reason we became such good friends is we did 24 hours of debates / discussions on COVID as it was happening. And I encourage people, if I can get a person that understands how to make segments, video clip segments for YouTube, I'm going to start publishing pieces of those 24 hours. But you can watch most of them on YouTube. Of course, Susan Wojcicki, who is the CEO of YouTube, took a bunch of them down with the censorship program that they had going over at Google, mm-hmm. Of which YouTube is part of, as you know.
Yes.
Which was a terrible thing to do because it was two well-meaning doctors discussing COVID to help educate the public, and she's taken our videos down, which was amazing to me. I've never been censored quite so severely, but I did get censored terribly in general by YouTube with shadow banning and everything else that I went through. But anyway, Dr. Bhattacharya and I became good friends, and he invited me up to Washington about, I guess it's been 2 months now.
2 months now.
Yeah, because I spent some time out at Stanford, as you know, to try to work up my illness. But we, as usual, we sat down for lunch and dinner. We spent the whole day together after I arrived. And we jumped right in with debating the current issues. We almost can't help ourselves.
Did you tell him that I recommended to you that you tell him that I recommended that you join the staff up there?
Oh, yeah, that'd be lovely. After I get well, I think I might try to nudge him a little bit and get a job up there.
That's good. Because
we need people that have a different point of view, and I'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Bhattacharya, of course, is in a very responsible position now. And so when I told him that I could prove there was no SARS-2 virus, you know, he immediately said, well, I'm not willing to go that far yet, you know. So so we had the same old friction that we always had of me making a comment, making a claim, let's say, and then proving it. And that's sort of the way we set up our 24 hours together. So if you watch him, it's issue after issue of me proving my point and him trying to disprove it. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun. We're such good friends. We
That's
had a
good.
Great day. Then
you,
I got
you mentioned
on
that, and let me jump in for a moment. Your book called Sanctioned, The COVID Murders.
Yes, sir.
Give our listeners, some that may not have heard it, a little thumbnail sketch on the intent of the book and what the book really is intended to do and what it says.
The intent of the first volume. Now, the whole book is 2,000 pages long. And I've got 6 volumes that are going to come out. The first volume has come out already, and it's available. People can pick it up on Amazon or whatever.
And we have it at CTU Bookstore also.
Correct. Thank you. And the first volume basically explains to everybody that there was no SARS-2 virus in the way that they think of it, mm-hmm. as being something that was an infectious disease that traveled all over the world. All of that was utter nonsense. The entire thing was made up. And it's very, very easy for me to prove it, which is surprising. It's a simple proof, which I will go into in just a minute when our guest asks me a question about the vaccine. But it's all proved in the book, and the people, the perpetrators that tried to force this fraud on the public are named and even pictured in some cases, if you remember, Pastor. And I don't really pull any punches. I call them stochastic murderers, because stochastic murder is when you know that a scheme is going to kill a certain number of people, such as a vaccine is going to cause so many deaths, and there's no benefit of the vaccine, then you have committed stochastic murder. Stochastic means you can look at something statistically, but you can't predict it individually, precisely. In other words, you may know that 10% of the population is going to die because of a vaccine, but you don't know which 10% it is. Mm-hmm. But you still committed murder if there's no benefit to the vaccine.
That's right.
Knowing that 10% of the population are going to die from it. Okay, so that's what I meant by stochastic murder. It's a term that I coined there. But remember, the vaccine itself, just to review, is based on the genome of the virus. Of course it is, because it's injected into you, and it ask your cells to produce the spike protein, ostensibly so that you'll make an immune response to it, make antibodies to it, and it'll prevent the virus from getting you the second time, because the antibodies and the activated T cells are laying in wait to attack the second time you ingest the virus, right?
Correct.
The problem is the genome was fake. So they based the vaccine on a genome that doesn't exist. And I think I went into some detail a few months ago when we were together,
correct,
explaining why the genome was fraudulently determined. And I'll be happy to summarize that again if you want me to.
In a few moments, let's do that, but right at the present time. What you're saying is then, we were lied to about the COVID vaccination, but even prior to that, we were lied to about what is COVID. And so as a result of that, the COVID vaccination, are you saying the COVID vaccination had no efficacious value? Are you saying the COVID vaccination was deadly and not beneficial at all? They claimed 97% to 98% efficacy for those that took the shot. How do you wade through that with the listener that may be listening and say, well, I was told by my doctor that I need to take the shot, the vaccination? What do you say to that?
Yeah, I would say that the doctor was misinformed, naive, or very lazy, and didn't look into it himself.
Did money have anything to do with it?
Yes, the doctors were bribed, for lack of a better word, for vaccinating their patients, and we have lots of proof of that. Ascent did it in Kentucky. Dr. Massey, Representative Massey, Thomas Massey, discovered an internal memo that explained how much extra money the doctors were going to get.
That's right.
By vaccinating their population.
Even they were by recommending it, whether they did or not. Recommending it, they got paid.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible what went on. I mean, it's this thing is, this is why my book is 2,000 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much fraud that went into this, it's unbelievable. I mean, we got people buying, like Bill Gates, buying shares in the vaccine before the virus had even been discovered. Who does that?
Far back as 2015.
Yes, but in on August 31st of 2019, he bought shares of BioNTech. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even publicly traded at the time. And then in December, they supposedly discovered the virus. I mean, that's absurd.
Absolutely. Dr. Pierce, you were vitally interested in this subject, and I'm thankful that you're with us today. What questions do you have for Dr. Sheftall?
Well, I was interested mainly in the vaccine. You know, I had a physician in the church and a personal friend who at first, when we were trying to decide what to do about closing church or keeping church open and all the information getting from the state, you can't meet, you got to do everything video, that sort of, he said, well, herd mentality, our herd process will take care of this. Enough people to get it, it'll all go away.
Herd immunity.
Herd immunity, yeah. And it wasn't 3 weeks after that, he came back and said, no, herd immunity is not going to take care of it. We'd put together a little committee to decide exactly how to go about doing it. And so at first he said, herd immunity will take care of it. We don't need to do anything. Then they started pushing the vaccine. And, of course, I was getting ready to go to Israel, and at that time they weren't letting anybody in Israel that weren't back, that had not been vaccinated. So I took the vaccination and have nothing but regretted it since then. Nobody else in my family would take it. They said, no, we're not going to do it. They were smarter than me. And so after reading Dr. Sheftall's book, it really makes me think, you know, we need to be more inquisitive of our doctors about the side effects and what all goes on with this. And my question for Dr. Reed was, since I had the vaccine, what's the half-life of the vaccine, or is it something that's permanently going to be in my body and I'm going to have a part of it? Caused inflammation. Inflammation of the gastrointestinal tract as well as the pericardium. Is that something that I'm going to be fighting from now on, or is that something that wears off after a time? Or how harmful is the vaccine? Is it worse than the supposed COVID?
Yes, the supposed COVID is a rebranding of other diseases. primarily respiratory diseases like the flu. And you might say, wait a minute now, how can you rebrand a disease? Mm-hmm. And it's very, very simple. When a patient comes in with upper respiratory symptoms and you cannot tell that it's established, there are no differences in the symptoms and the presentation of the patient between COVID, RSV, and the flu, what we traditionally call the flu. You can't tell the difference when the patient comes in. You can even lose your sense of taste and smell with the flu. That's all in all the medical books. So don't say just because you lost your sense of taste it had to be COVID. That's right. Not true. Mm-hmm. The way they do a rebranding is a patient comes in with those symptoms, and because the hospitals were getting a lot of extra money, which I'm sure you know about, Dr. Yes. Youngblood, for diagnosing COVID, for putting people in the ICU, for putting them on a ventilator.
Just for the PPE.
Yes. Well, the hospitals were getting extra money to diagnose, test for, absolutely, put them in the ICU, put them on a ventilator, and even put them on the death certificate for COVID. They got a lot of money for it.
Just for lying on the death certificate.
Correct.
Yes.
And if you were getting $38,000 to put a COVID patient on a ventilator, and would you test for the flu? Or would you test for COVID? You'd test for COVID only because you want to get that extra money. And that's what was done. So a lot of patients that had the flu the year before, the number I actually have memorized because it's so important, was 38 million patients worldwide.
For flu.
They had the flu in 2019.
Yes.
The number of people that had it in 2020 was 1,500. That's a ratio of 25,333. Mm-hmm. That's how much they decreased the flu in 1 year. And, of course, all those cases were called COVID.
Yes.
So anybody that wants to debate me on whether the disease was rebranded is in deep trouble.
Yes.
With that statistic. Okay, so that's what rebranding means. So, in other words, COVID did not exist because SARS-CoV-2 did not exist. And let me just supply you with a little bit of proof of that, because that's really important. How could SARS-CoV-2 not even exist? Well, they haven't found it in a single person at any time anywhere in the world yet. They have not found it. What I mean by that is, initially, if you remember, Dr. Fauci and company were saying that it could stay on stainless steel for 72 hours.
Could blow in off the ocean waves.
No, coming out of someone's mouth. It would get on stainless steel and it would be sitting there where you could pick it up with your fingers or something for 72 hours. We haven't found a single viral particle yet. And here's what's ridiculous about that. He had the whole world wiping down their groceries and their countertops all day long. Because he said it could live on stainless steel and so forth. And all of that was complete nonsense.
Headed
utter nonsense. But let me tell you a few more things about why SARS-CoV-2 doesn't exist. There are three ways, and I'll try to say this quickly before the break. There are three ways that virologists prove a virus exists, quote-unquote, over proof, I mean. Number one, with cytopathic effects. But we've already done experiments where we ran the cytopathic effect experiment without adding the specimen from a person, and they get the same cytopathic effects. And I'll explain the details of that later if you want me to. Number two is photographic evidence, where electron microscope picture is taken of the cytopathic effects with the particles leaving the cells, the monkey kidney cells that the cytopathic effects experiments are performed on, and God knows why they use monkey kidney cells when it's a human lung disease, okay? And the photographic evidence, even from the Journal of Virology now, says there's no way to tell the difference between a virion, which is a viral particle, and an exosome, which is a particle that is always there in the presence when there's cell destruction. And the Journal of Virology has a vested interest in proving that viruses exist, and they say they can't find it. Mm-hmm. And then the third way that they prove virus exists is by sequencing the genome of the virus. And I'll talk about any detail you want about genetics. That's kind of my specialty in medicine. But they are not able to sequence the genome of anything that exists.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Chef Tull and our other guest. Greg Youngblood is with us, and Dr. Tommy Pierce from the Tyrone Oaks Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.